जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण चैंट नाउ टुगेदर वर्स नंबर 190 फ्रॉम द 24th चैप्टर ऑफ Madhyalila explanations of the Atmarama verse. Te vai vadanti atitaranti cha deva mayam stri shudra huna sabara api papa jivaha yadi adbhuta krama parayana shila shikshaha tiryakjana ati kim o shrutadharana ye Devai vadantati taranti cha deva mayam Devai vadantati taranti cha deva mayam Stri shudra huna shabara api papa jivaha Stri shudra huna shabara api papa jivaha Yatyadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha Yadyadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha Tiryakjana api kimu shruta dharanaye Tiryakjana api kimu shruta dharanaye Te vai vidantati taranti cha deva mayam Stri shudra huna shabara api papa jivaha Yatyadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha Tiryakjana api kimu shruta dharanaye So I'll read the translation of the previous verses before we come to this. Started from 178. The context of this series of verses is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the meaning of the famous Atmarama verse to Sanatana Goswami from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he gives different meanings because basically, anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the meaning of this verse in the lecture. But here in this particular section of his explanation, he gives 64 different explanations of this verse. He says that the word muni means bird and bringa. Bringa means bumblebee. And nirgranthi means foolish people. And what he wants to say basically is that the scope of devotional service is very wide and universal. That bhakti is not only for atmaramas, those who are self-satisfied, not only for munis in a standard meaning of the word, those self-satisfied and completely introspective sages, and not only to nirgrantas, meaning those people who don't have any grantha, who don't have any bondage to this world. Not only they can feel the attraction of Krishna, but basically anyone. So that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to say to us or to convey while widening the scope of different meanings of these words from this verse. That Muni means even birds can render the devotional service. Even the birds can feel the attraction of Krishna and his qualities. everyone, basically, besides us. But, but everyone else can. So that's the implied meaning behind all these quotations which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to illustrate this point, that practically anyone can feel attraction to Krishna. So he quotes in the first verse, he quotes the verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, all the cranes and swans in the water are being enchanted by the melodious song of Krishna's flute. They have approached and are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full attention. Alas, they are closing their eyes and are becoming completely silent. Muni. Even the cranes and swans, they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing the sound of his flute. This is the quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-11. In the day, Krishna went to the forest of Vrindavana, and at that time the gopis, being morose due to separation with him, were lamenting in this way. And then another quotation, Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbhas, Yavanas, and members of Khasa races, means Chinese people, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18. This verse was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami when Parikshit Maharaj asked him for a description of a creation. While offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shukadeva Goswami described the unlimited potencies of Lord Vishnu who can purify the low-born creatures mentioned herein. And then another meaning is coming, although connected. Kimva driti shabdi nija purnatadi jnana kaya dukha bhavi uttama praptiye mahapurna hoy. The word driti, and driti, although it's not there in the verse at Marama, but before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the word atma in the word atmarama may mean driti. Driti means endurance. So the word driti here, or atma, giving another shade to the meaning of the word atmaram, is also used here when one is fully perfect in knowledge. due to having obtained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has no material miseries. He attains Mahapurna, the highest level of perfection. And then to illustrate this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this next verse. Driti is the fullness felt due to the absence of misery and the attainment of knowledge of Supreme Lord and pure love for him. The lamentation that accrues from not obtaining the goal or from losing something already attained before does not affect this completeness. This is the verse found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then the next verse is quite a few significant verses, but anyway. A devotee of Krishna is never in a miserable condition, nor does he have any desire other than to serve Krishna. He is experienced and advanced. He feels the transcendental bliss of love of Krishna and always engages in his service in full perfection. Next verse. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. In next verse. In this material world, all living entities are disturbed due to their flickering position. A devotee, however, is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, the master of the senses. Such a person is to be considered situated in endurance and patience. Again, endurance means dhriti here. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks next couple of verses himself. The word cha is for emphasis, and the word api is used to indicate and aggregate. Thus, it is to be understood that even dull creatures, birds, and illiterates, can be situated in endurance and engage in Krishna's devotional service. The word atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence. Since all living entities generally have some intelligence, it's a very generous statement, since all living entities generally have some intelligence, more or less, they're all included. Everyone has some kind of intelligence, and one who utilizes his intelligence is called Atmarama. There are two types of Atmaramas. One is a learned scholar and philosopher, and the other one is an uneducated, illiterate, foolish person. By the mercy of Krishna or by the association of devotees, one increases his attraction to an intelligence for pure devotional service. Therefore, one gives up everything, engages himself at the lotus feet of Krishna and his pure devotees. And then the verse which we read and the verse before from Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, Aham sarvasi prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita. I, Krishna, am the original source of everything. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my service with love and devotion. And then translation of the verse which we read together. Women, fourth-class men, uncivilized hill tribes, hunters, and many others born of low families, as well as birds and beasts, can engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts very wonderfully, and follow the path of devotees and take lessons from them. Although the ocean of nations is vast, they can still cross over it. What then is the difficulty for those who are advanced in Vedic knowledge? This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.46. Lord Brahma said that when speaking to his disciple Narada about the wonderful characteristics of Lord Vishnu, simply by chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu, one can cross the ocean of nations, even though one may be low-born. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarini Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhajano Lambita Bujo Kanakavadata Sankirtanai Kapitaroki Nadakshi Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yoga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priya Karo Karunavatara and Dakarishima Mavachimam Prasuktam Sanjeevaya Tekila Shakti Daraksvadham Nanyam Shahasta Charana Shramana Advagadin Pranam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Dunya. Okay, so I will try to say a few words in regard to the verses which are mentioned here. as we said, this is 64 different explanations of Atmarama verse. Atmaramas chamunayo nirgrantha apyurukrame kurvantya haito kim bhaktim itam bhuta guno arihi. And the general meaning of this verse, the general and basic meaning of this verse is that it's spoken in connection with Shukadeva Goswami, that Shukadeva Goswami was attracted towards the Supreme Lord, even though he was totally self-satisfied, he was a muni from his birth, he was completely absorbed in the Brahman realization. He was on a very high spiritual platform. And the implied meaning of this verse is that the highest path is the path of devotion. When we feel the personal attraction towards God, there are so many different ways to experience something spiritual or semi-spiritual or quasi-spiritual or whatever. You know, people take drugs, LSD, and, you know, some... And they think this is some spiritual experience. And they do yoga, and they sit in meditation sometimes 4 hours, and they also have some sort of experience. Because in this world, we're all after experience. There is nothing else. We want to be happy, and the happiness is coming through some sort of experiences. And different people are trying to find different experiences in this world, which they think are bringing them happiness. So, and, you know, spiritual life is but just a completely different type of experience. When one is disgusted with the material experiences, and who is not, you know, when is an understatement. Everyone is more or less bored or disgusted, you know. It's just boring, the same stuff, you know. You have to eat every day. It's so boring. You know, it's not only you have to eat, you have to be excited about it, which is the most amazing things, you know. Every time you have to try to squeeze out some new thing, you know. After, you know, 40, 50 years, it becomes really boring, sort of fun. Sooner or later, everyone becomes somewhat frustrated and disgusted. And on the top, Krishna very generously sends us some miseries in life. And it's becoming a, you know, very strange experience. So that's why people come to temples and to churches and take LSD and try to find some alternative to the normal experience of material life. They do yoga and meditation and this and that. But basically, this verse implies a very important truth. Contains a very important truth, conveys a very important truth, is that even those who are highly advanced, the most advanced, in whatever path they are taking, even they cannot resist but be attracted when they hear about the glories of the Lord. And that's the experience of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami is being described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is so renounced that in Yam Pravrajanta Manupeta Peta Kritim Dvaipayana Virahakatara Juha Vutreti Tanmayatayo Taravo Vinedas. He was Anupeta Peta Kritim. He just came out from the womb of his mother. completely fully grown man, but Anupeta Apeta Kritim, he didn't undergo any ceremonies. He was so realized that he didn't need Upanayana Samskara, he didn't need any samskaras. He just went away because he didn't want to have anything to do with this material life. Just not even a trace of attraction he had to the material life. And his father was running behind him and was crying, Putretitan mayatao tarayobinedos, but he didn't even respond to his cries. So renounced he was. Only the trees were responding. And therefore, Sutta Goswami, he's paying obeisances. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. He's like an heir. So renounced he is. Not touching anything and entering everyone's heart. So, but this person who is completely renounced, who has nothing to do with this material world, when he heard the vibrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he heard this particular verse, what's the verse goes, how it goes? Karnayoh karnikaram. Barhapidam natavaravapuh karnayoh karnikaram. Bibratvasam kanakakapisham vajjayantim chamalam. Randram vino radarasudayan purayan gopavrindayar. Vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. And he just heard this verse describing the beauty of Krishna. He became mad. We are not becoming mad, luckily, otherwise it would be quite a sin. But he became mad out of ecstasy just by, you know, when this picture of the beauty of Krishna appeared in his mind and due to this verse. He just started running behind the disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who were used as a means or device to attract him back home. And he stayed for many months with Vyasadeva, listening and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, this is all to show that there is the highest possible path, that is, to feel attraction or love for Krishna. And that's, again, the general meaning of the verse, which says that even Atmaramas, those who are completely self-satisfied, Munis, the introspective sages, Nirgrantas, liberated person, totally, absolutely liberated person, Apurokrame, Kurvanti, Ahaituki Bhakti, they do Ahaituki Bhakti, completely pure devotional service. Kurvanti. Kurvanti is Parasmaipada. There are two ways to subjugate Sanskrit verbs. It's either Parasmaipada or Atmanepada. In other words, you can do any activity in two ways. You can do activity for yourself, and in this way you have to subjugate a particular verb according to the Atmanepada mode. You're doing something for yourself. Or you can do the same activity, not for yourself, for somebody else. And that's called Parasmaipada. So it's a different subjugation. It's a very special and very wise feature of Sanskrit that you can say about the same activity, either it is directed to yourself, to your own pleasure, or it's directed to somebody else. So here it is kurvanti. Kurvanti means you're doing it not for yourself. You're doing it for Krishna. Ahaituki bhakti. So they say that all of a sudden they become so attracted, and that's a description of love. When you love somebody, you don't want anything for yourself. You want to do something not for yourself, for one whom you love. So here it's very specifically said, Kurvantya haitukim bhaktim, they start doing bhakti not because they wanted anything for themselves, but because they want to please Krishna. Itam bhuta guna harihi. Such a wonderful qualities Hari has. Such an amazing, overwhelming qualities he has, so that spontaneously you start doing something. So that's, again, the general meaning of this verse, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. But then he starts doing something very special with this verse. And he says that actually this verse is not only describing Atmaramas and Munis. Oh, he describes Atmaramas and Munis, but he says basically that bhakti is for everyone. Bhakti is for Chinese people and Jewish people and, believe it or not, Russian people, and, you know, this is a living proof sitting in front of you. So even they can experience the attraction of Krishna. Anyone. In other words, and it is said in the verses which we read, when Api is standing at the end of these three things, Atmaramas Chamunayo, Nigrant Api. Api means even, and basically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to say that by saying Atmarama Muni and Nirgranta, and by giving different meanings to these words, practically anyone can feel the attraction of Krishna. Anyone can fall in love with Krishna. Anyone, without any exceptions. Including, as we read in this verse, Tiryakjan. Tiryakjan means animals. Animals or Westerners, this sort of creatures. You know, who are not really highly intelligent. And Mahaprabhu says that there are two types of intelligence, and one intelligence is developed intelligence. Another kind of intelligence is undeveloped intelligence. And normally, you feel the attraction towards a spiritual subject matters only if your intelligence is developed, is highly developed. You know, it's a certain stage of evolution of the consciousness. You can't really feel, you know, on the lower stages of the evolution of consciousness, you can only feel attraction towards something really gross. If our consciousness is gross itself, we can only feel attraction to something gross, and God is not gross. God is the most subtle thing which is there. It's not really a thing, but God is the most subtle entity which is there in the whole creation. We can very clearly see that, you know, according to the grossness of one's intelligence or one's consciousness, we are attracted to different things. You know, some people, they like classical music. And they go, and the subtleties of this classical music goes inside, and they enjoy. You know, for other people, it should be, you know, 100 decibel, some boom, 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 boom. And this is only what attracts them. Why? Because this is the structure of their consciousness, the heart. You know, if it's very loud, then they can be attracted. Not something more subtle. So that we can see that different, according to the level of intelligence, the attraction is different towards different things. But the amazing thing about God is that even if we are deaf, completely dull, completely unintelligent, with completely undeveloped intelligence, still we can be attracted towards him. I mean, it will be more difficult. There is no doubt about it. Because the natural attraction is for different things. But it's possible, and that's the point which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to make and makes by giving all these different explanations to this verse. But he explains the condition when in this series of the verses, when the scope or the application of devotional service becomes really universal. And in normal cases, so to speak, it's only highly developed people who can feel the attraction of the Lord. Even though the Lord, His name is Krishna. Krishna means the magnet, the central magnet, which attracts everything and everyone. Still, somehow or other, so many people resist to this attraction. It's just not attractive to me. It's like this, the magnet is attracting the iron. But if iron is very rusty, if iron is covered by rust, then the attraction will not be there. Even though by nature the iron is attracted to the magnet, but because of this covering, external covering, the attraction is not felt. In the same way, the soul by nature is attracted by God. God is something which we all want. There is nothing else we want. There is really nothing else. We only want God. But because we are covered by this thick layer of ignorance, we don't really understand that we need Him. We really mistake, we think I need this and I need that, and maybe this will make me happy or that will make me happy. And this is the tragedy of our existence in this world. We are trying to find happiness where it is not. But we are so busy in doing it, and life after life, we waste our time by trying to find happiness where it doesn't exist. And actually it's a vicious circle, because we are not finding happiness where it exists because we don't feel attraction, because there is no connection, so to speak. So how to break this vicious circle? In other words, how to get out from this vicious circle of samsara? Samsara is a very difficult thing. It's, yadgatva mam nivartante. If you once enter into it, you practically never come out of it. Because no matter which species you are in, you feel great. Everyone feels great. Cockroach feels great. He thinks it's a great life. There's nothing funny about it. It's very sad. Every single living entity which lives in this world feels that it's almost perfect. Almost. Only human beings who are a little more developed, they sometimes feel that something is wrong here. Everyone else is just fine. Fine. So many species of life. The sparks of consciousness in a pig's body, it's such a miserable condition. But try to explain this to the pig. It will be very difficult for a pig to understand that he's miserable. Come to him and tell, dear sir, why you're in this condition. He says, what's wrong with it? I like it. It's fine. Well, get out of here, leave me alone. I'm happy. And everyone is in this condition, more or less. And even human beings, even sometimes we think that something is wrong, but it's not for a long time. Usually we think everything is fine. It could be a little better, but it's fine. So it's a vicious circle. And it's a very actually denigrating and very humiliating position we have. While entering into this material world, we are humiliated every day. We're always humiliated. Just going to the toilet is a big humiliation for the spiritual spark. And all other needs which we have to fulfill or try to satisfy, they are not really very elevated. And we're busy doing this as if it's all okay, as if it's normal, not even feeling embarrassed by this. So, again, as I said, it's a vicious circle. How to break the vicious circle? How to get out from this self-perpetuating condition which we are in? Where more or less karma is self-perpetuating. It goes and goes and goes, and you're repeating the same thing, and you feel great about it, and then you repeat it again, and then you die, and then you starts from the same point which you left before, without any change. Karma is a very, it's a very difficult thing to break. The specific point which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes while explaining these verses, he says, there is a way to break it, and there is only way to break it. There is only way to break it, that is the association with devotees. Because Krishna himself, you will not feel attraction, you don't have experience. Even if you listen about him, it may not really penetrate your heart. But when you associate with the devotees of the Lord, then some qualitative leap can happen in your life. It's really a huge difference which can come into the quality of your life. Otherwise, you're just chewing the chewed. You're just more or less, I don't know, there is Russian saying that you, how you say, толочь воду в ступе. How you say it in English? To try to... try to...
Grind the water.
Grind the water, and you know, it's not a very productive engagement. You take water and you try to grind it, you know. You're doing the same sort of thing, grinding and grinding, nothing happens. No change in the quality. So the same thing we're doing in this material world, grinding and grinding and grinding the same old water of our karma. So the difference comes when we directly encounter with a person who is coming from a different perspective. When we have this direct encounter with a completely different state of consciousness, the state of consciousness which feels the attraction towards Krishna, then we may feel a shadow of attraction towards Krishna. No matter on which condition, on which stage of spiritual development we are at present, we may be in a very low platform at this moment. But when we when we come in contact with somebody who has attraction of Krishna, we may feel, yeah, right, there is something to it. There is something really really special in this person, or whatever. We may feel, you know, some sort of attraction, a strange attraction, which may not be there in our normal life. You know, there is a famous story which is recorded in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. When Prabhupada, in the very beginning days of Krishna consciousness movement on the Second Avenue, he was giving a lecture, and you know, it was even not Second Avenue. It was maybe this. What was the before? Very degraded place. Anyways, you know, there's so many quite degraded people would come, and they couldn't understand anything. You know, sometimes people, they were just, you know, they were so drunk or so under some drugs. You know, they just couldn't figure out what's going on. And here it is, you know, Srila Prabhupada quoting Sanskrit verses to them. You know, isn't it funny? It's a funny scene. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and trying to convince them. And, you know, sometimes when there was not so many visitors for Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and, you know, somebody would lay down somewhere completely drunk outside in a sidewalk, you know, Prabhupada would say, bring him in, you know. And the devotees would ask, why, you know, he's drunk. He said, no, he will get some benefit. It doesn't matter. He may be in this state of consciousness, but still some benefit will be there. So, you know, this sort of audience, this sort of visitors are coming to listen to his lecture. And, you know, at one point Prabhupada was giving lecture, sitting on his, whatever, probably not Vyasasana, some podium which was there, and saying something, and few of his first followers were there. And all of a sudden, a completely the degraded person went in, you know, rocking slightly, went to a bathroom, to the toilet, and he had a roll of toilet paper with him, and he just, you know, that's the offering which he brought to Prabhupada, being grateful to him, and he put this roll of toilet paper into this. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, this is the beginning of his devotional service. That's the starting point. That's not even the starting point, that's the breaking point, the turning point in his career. Because why did he do this? Because he felt attraction. You know, somebody who is really, you know, not really, somehow or other he sees a devotee of the Lord, and he sees and he feels the sincerity and the purity, and then, you know, he feels like doing something for this particular person. And basically when we meet with a devotee of the Lord, it's a direct, we should understand, it's a direct encounter with the Lord Himself. Because, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatir akinchina, sarvair, how it is, gunais tatra samasate suraha, all the good qualities of the spiritual realm, of all the suras, of all the gods, are coming in the heart of somebody who is yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatira kinchina, who is rendering a completely pure ahaituki bhakti, completely unmotivated devotional service. Then he manifests all the qualities which are there, and these qualities may attract even very dull people. And by seeing him, by trying to understand the motivations of his actions, we may feel ultimately attraction towards the Lord Himself. That's how it works. And that's the specific point. When shall I stop my class? I'll finish before. And that's the specific point of this verse which we read together with you, which says, Tevai vidanta titaranchi shadeva maya, stri shudra huna shabara api papa jiva. Even very sinful people, stri shudra huna shabara, you know, or even much more sinful. Tevai vidanta titaranchi shadeva maya. They can understand how the deva maya, God's maya, God's illusory energy influences us, vidanti, and atitaranti, not only vidanti. Sometimes we feel that this is maya. We understand this is maya, this is illusion. Rarely. Usually when person is an illusion, he doesn't understand that he is an illusion. He thinks everyone else is an illusion. That's the nature of illusion. Otherwise, it's not illusion. If we are illusioned, we think I am right, everyone else is wrong. You know, there was this story, nice story, that once a sorcerer came to a city, and he put some powder into the well from which everyone from the city was taking water for drinking. And all of a sudden, people who drank this water, they would become completely mad, and they would just, you know, do some strange things. And this has become known to the king. And the king, he very carefully avoided this. He had his separate well in his palace. So he made sure that him and his relatives would only drink water from his well, not from the poisoned well where everyone else was taking water. But, you know, one after another, all the citizens of the this particular city, they became completely mad. And ultimately, you know, by being mad, they came, you know, by crying, and, you know, so they started revolting against the king. They came to the palace, and they started smashing it and this and that, because they're mad. And the king is right. So he's sane still, because he was not drinking this water. And there is this wild riot, and he asked his minister, "What shall I do?" And the minister said, "Go quickly and take water from this well. Then everything will be okay." because that's the only solution to this problem. You know, you cannot be sane among the mad people. It will be very dangerous for you to be sane in this situation. You have to be equally mad. So, again, this is the nature of illusion. If you are illusioned, you don't think that you're illusioned. You think everyone else is illusioned. Everyone else is mad. So, but here it is said, Tevai Vidant, you can know Devamaya. You can understand Devamaya. You can become a little sober and understand how Maya or illusion influences you. Or not even this. Sometimes you may know I'm mad. Sometimes we feel, really, by looking at ourselves and the desires which are there, by in some bright moments of our consciousness, we feel like, you know, what am I doing? What's going on within my heart? But not even this. Atitaranti. Atitaranti means they can cross over the influence of Maya. They can be completely free from this Devamaya, Lord's Maya, no matter where they are situated. Again, Stri Sudra Huna Sabara Atipapa Jiva Yat Buddha Yadi Yadi Matlab if Yadi means if they Adbuddha Krama Parayana Sila Shikshas. And it's a very beautiful compound in Sanskrit, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one of his articles in Sajjana Toshani. Very beautiful explanation, very deep explanation he gives. He is Adbhuta Krama. Adbhuta means wonderful, amazing. Krama means activities. He uses this particular, very carefully, Lord Brahma uses this words here, very carefully, which conveys a very important meaning. What is the condition that we feel attraction towards the Lord? What is the condition that we can be free from Maya? What is the condition that we can cross over the Maya? The condition is in this particular phrase, Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shikshas. The condition is simple. If we are Adbhuta Krama Parayana, no, not we. Adbhuta Krama means the Lord. the one who can Urukrama, basically the same word which is used in Atmarama verse. Urukrama, Urukrame, Ahaituki Bhakti, Kurvante Ahaituki Bhakti. So Adbhuta Krama is the same meaning, the somebody who can do something really amazing. And you know, we encounter with this Adbhuta Krama every day. He created this amazing world, isn't it? This world is amazing. Every day we see the sun. And we see, yeah, right, sun, yeah. Yeah, nice. We're not amazed. We're not really stricken. We're not really shocked that there is somebody put this sun. And we say, yeah, right. Of course. We're not really impressed. You know, this is the level of our consciousness. It's very difficult to impress us. You know, the Lord made this amazing arrangement in this world. Every single minutest particle of this world is completely, totally shocking and amazing. What to speak about us, you know, but we all take it for granted. Yes, right. Yeah, the old man did something good. It's amazing how dull we are. So, what is said here in this particular phrase in Sanskrit, Adbhuta Krama Parayana, the one who feels attraction to this Adbhuta Krama, the one who is constantly in the state of amazement, of the beauty and power and kindness of the Lord, who really appreciates His qualities. Parayana means inclined, who really can appreciate. So Adbhuta Krama Parayana, when we meet with this devotee, and Shila, the next word in this is Shila. Shila means character. So and Shikshas, the implication is that we can also feel the attraction towards the Lord if we study, not under the pure devotee who feels the attraction, but if we appreciate his character, if we study from his behavior, if we see him and we are impressed by him. That's what this verse basically means. The implication of this verse, and again, this is the explanation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the implication of this verse, we can feel attraction towards the Lord only if we appreciate the qualities or the character of a pure devotee of the Lord. And by appreciating the qualities of a pure devotee of the Lord, if we do this, then a very significant changes can take place in our heart. We see him in a different light. If we will be able to see how the spiritual energy is working through him and how amazing things are happening, then we can feel the attraction towards the Lord, Itam Buddha Guna Hari, and His holy name becomes a source of enjoyment for us, the source of bliss, the source of ananda for us. So that's basically the meaning, how we can go about it. And Prabhupada's life is a glorious illustration to this verse, because he did make such a strong impact. How he made a strong impact? Because people were, you know, looking at him, appreciating his qualities, learning from his example, you know, seeing, really appreciating his qualities. And that completely changed their heart. And that's the only way to change our heart, to appreciate the qualities of the devotee. There is no other way. We can't. We're too dull to appreciate the qualities of Krishna. We look at him and he's playing flute. Yeah, right. Fine. Very nice. No appreciation. Too dull. Don't hear the song of the flute or whatever. We are not even the like the birds, cranes in Vrindavan. They are much more advanced than us. But we can appreciate the qualities of a devotee. And by doing this, we are doing something really significant. And something really amazing is happening within our heart if this sort of sentiment appears within our heart. Oh, he is so pure, he is so nice, and he is so sincere in his endeavors to please the Lord. So that's what we can work on. If we really try to consciously endeavor to appreciate Shila, the character, the qualities of a devotee, and if we take the shiksha, the lessons from these qualities, not only, passively appreciate, but actively taking shiksha from his qualities. In other words, trying to follow his footsteps, trying to be at least somewhat like him, trying to serve his qualities actively, then we can tevai vidanta titaranti chadeva maya. We can cross over this maya, this unsurmountable, totally, completely, very difficult to surmount illusory energy of the Lord. Then only we can do this. And luckily enough, and that's perhaps the last thing which I will say, the last point which I will try to make in this regard. Luckily enough, I was mentioning it actually in, I believe, no, I didn't mention it. Luckily for us, and basically what this series of verses is talking about, it's talking about the power of association. And the, one of the previous verses where it is said kiratas hunas abhiras and pulindas and pukashas and who not. They can feel attraction towards the Lord if they are under the lotus feet that takes shelter, the lotus feet of Prabhavishnu, Prabhavishnava Namaha, of somebody who is knowing the supreme power of the Lord. But luckily for us, how it works, it's a very essential part of Vedic culture, the Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha is a very, it's a fundamental feature of the Vedic culture. The stress, the need of sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, you know, satsanga, darshan. You have to, the very word darshan means you have, if the saintly person is there, you have to come and see him. Even if you don't understand anything, even if you don't understand what he's talking about, even if you don't understand why he's so excited about something you are totally not excited about, but you just see him. And by seeing him, something imperceptibly is changing within your heart. Why? Because we're made this way. There is a very interesting discovery which was made quite recently in the field of neurophysiology. Those people who studied the structure of the brain, they discovered that there are certain brain cells which they call monkey brain cells, which start, usually when we do something, it corresponds to the activity of the brain cells And there are some certain synapses. The brain cells are, you know, they have this synapses, the how to say this, this отростки, this... Whatever, yeah, they connect with other other brain cells, and through the connection with different brain cells, we're able to do very difficult activities, very complicated and complex activities, because and the more connections of are there within the brain, the more capable we are. And usually when we do something like when we speak or when we do some complex activity, it corresponds to certain connections between the different brain cells, which enter into this connection, and the electric current is going through, and in this way we are capable of doing this, basically. And when the brain becomes degraded or deteriorates, it basically means that it loses its ability to enter into the new connections. When the brain is young and healthy, it has this very great ability to connect and to learn, basically. But with the age, when this ability to learn becomes less, it basically means that there is less connections and the less ability to enter into new connections between the different brain cells. And usually, again, these different connections is taking place in us only when we do something. In other words, to learn something, we have to do something new. You know, like, for example, we all know if you want to play piano or whatever, you have to learn again and again and again, and that creates certain structure within your mind, which... facilitates this activity, and ultimately you become very good in it. But listen, it's very important. The recent discovery was that there are certain brain cells in our brain, which is called monkey cells, which enter into connection with different brain cells in our brain, not when you're doing something, but when you're just thinking about doing something, or when you're just seeing that somebody is doing this. In other words, it's a very important implication behind this statement. In other words, we can learn just by seeing somebody. not necessarily doing it, you know, ourselves. And that's exactly what is implied. I think Lord Brahma knows the neurophysiology very well, and he exactly pointing out this feature of a human brain, or not even human brain, monkey brain too. Tiryak, it is said. Tiryak means animals. Animals can also do this. We have this ability to learn just by seeing. To learn means to change ourselves, because learning means changing. So if we learn, if we want to change our life, to, in other words, to learn something new, that the starting point is that you just come and see. Come and see somebody who has different qualities, who relates to life and to other people in a different way, and that's a very good starting point. To change your inner, inner structure or inner outlook, the nature of your consciousness, to change your heart. You will change your heart. How you can change your heart? Now my heart is attracted towards matter, irresistibly attracted towards matter. How to change the situation? Simple thing. Just come and see. Gradually, it will change. And if you make a conscious endeavors to learn from somebody who has different state of consciousness, who is attracted towards Krishna, if you make conscious endeavors, then it will become much faster. And this is the meaning of this verse, because it is said, Tiryak Janapi, even animals can do this, Kim u Shruta Dharana ye? What to speak about those people who can come, sit and listen, Shruta Dharana, who can concentrate on what this particular person is teaching you. Even if you cannot concentrate, you can do this. This is certain alankar or whatever. This is the logic of this verse is called in Sanskrit kaimutya nyaya, kimuta, what to speak of. You know, even the animals, even the monkeys can look. You know, if the monkey will observe a saint, it will become a saintly monkey. After some time, not immediately, but some saintliness imperceptibly will come into his heart. Why? Because there will be a different structure in the mind, in the brain. But what to speak of? But this is not, all this thing is being said not for us to become like monkeys and to become really happy by seeing. The implication here is very important. Tiryak janati kimuta shruta dharanaye. But if you can hear and shruta dharana, concentrate on what you're hearing. Try to understand the message which is being conveyed. Then your progress will be much faster. And then you will very quickly cross over, overcome this illusory energy, Deva Maya, then you will be able to really, you will be immune to the influence of this energy. So that's basically more or less. There are so many other points which could be said, but I'm already over my time. So thank you very much. That's what I wanted to explain to you. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Shri Radha Londoneshwara ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya ki Jai. Jai. Questions? Oh. Questions? Any questions? Yes. Yes. Yes, please.
I wanted to understand, well, in this verse we see that it describes like many fallen conditions, but I would like to understand why pure devotee sees everybody as pure.
Why pure devotee sees everyone as pure? It is explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said that that when the pure devotee, when we see the world, we see it through our bhava. And because the pure devotee has such a strong love towards Krishna, when he sees the world, he only sees love everywhere and in everyone's heart. Bhagavad bhava. Because he has this strong bhava, Bhagavad bhava, very strong love for God. He kind of reflects this bhava into everyone else. And when he sees, you know, everyone else is serving the Lord. I'm the only one who is just not serving, he's observing. Only because that's the way. Everyone else also seeing the world. If you're very envious, you will see only what? The envy in other people, right? You will always see that they're plotting and they're so envious and they're so selfish. Why? Because you are selfish. All these people who are going to the internet and trying to, you know, condemn everyone else, they're just revealing the condition of their heart. They're only speaking about their own heart. And they see it and we are foolish enough to believe them. He is bad and she is bad and so many bad people are. It's only one who speaks this way. He is bad. He is really bad. So in the same sort of dynamic is there in the heart of a devotee. He sees the world and he sees the world through the eyeglasses of his love. And he sees everyone is in love of God. I'm the only one who is not. Therefore, when Gopi sees, Mriga, the deer, and they say, oh, yeah, but this deer, he's just, he's a pure devotee. He loves Krishna so much, the deer may not know about this. But it's a reflection of their bhava. Not really, we shouldn't really take it so literally. We may take it literally too, but ultimately it's an indirect description of their love of God. Yes?
Maharaj, thank you very much, Maharaj, for your thoughts. Just one question. In Bhagavad Gita, it's especially in chapter 2, it talks about Buddha Yoga. Mm-hmm. It refers to devotional service. It's Buddha Yoga many times.
Yes.
And I was thinking Buddha means intelligence. Even there's another religion, Buddhism, which has nothing to do with us. So could you maybe clarify this? What is devotional service referred to in Bhagavad Gita?
In Bhagavad Gita, there are two understandings of Buddha Yoga. When Krishna speaks in the second chapter about Buddha Yoga, he basically means a special kind of karma yoga which is connected with him. Because the pure karma yoga, which is described in different scriptures like Mahabharata as well, is not really mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes karma yoga, he says, you do everything in connection with me, as an offering to me, in consciousness of me. So it's a sort of either beginning stages of bhakti yoga or, karma mishra bhakti or, he basically speaks about this karma mishra bhakti. Buddhi, why he uses the word Buddhi in the second chapter, because karma, karma yoga or karma mishra bhakti implies an act of service, active engagement, therefore he calls it Buddhi or Buddhi yoga, because by your intelligence you connect whatever you do with Krishna. You may be doing something ordinary. You may be fulfilling your duties, ordinary duties. You may take care of your wife and your children. But in your intelligence, you're connecting it with the service of the Lord. And therefore, this is called Buddhi. But then in the 10th chapter, Krishna gives much more profound definition of Buddhi Yoga, where he says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami Buddhi Yogam tam yanamam upayantite. I'll give them special intelligence or connected intelligence, Buddhi Yukta. I connect their intelligence and I help them to come to me. So it starts at a certain point when you do whatever you do in connection with Krishna, when you offer your fruits of your ordinary work to Krishna to a certain extent. But it comes to a very elevated level when tesham satata yuktanam, you're constantly engaged, because your taste increases. You want to do more and more for Krishna. You start in one point, but then you want to do more and more and more and more. You feel this, and therefore you become satata yuktanam. You're constantly engaged in this. Bhajatam priti purvakam, and you start worshipping to the Lord with love. Buddhi bhava samanvita, as it is said here. Your appreciation towards the Lord through the act of devotional service, which may not be so pure in the beginning, increases and becomes pure. And then, dadami buddhi yoga tam. Then I give him real buddhi yoga, which is bhakti yoga, which is real bhakti. Yanamam upayantite. And through this process of bhakti, he comes to me. Yanamam upayantite. He arrives. Achieves me.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. I guess that's enough. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.